Welcome to Style Scoops, where we delve into the stories that inspire, uplift, and resonate with the human spirit. Today, we are privileged to have with us the authors of an extraordinary new book called Courage and Strength that captures the essence of resilience, love, and hope in the face of adversity. Their journey is one of profound courage, navigating the challenges of raising children with a rare genetic syndrome while balancing careers, relationships, and the roller coaster of emotions that come with it. Join us as we explore the highs and lows, the triumphs and tribulations, and the profound lessons learned along the way. We are now joined by the authors Paul and Lauren Spagnoletti. Thank you for joining us. Can you share with us the inspiration behind writing this book and deciding to chronicle the lives of your two sons with this rare genetic syndrome?
So I think the inspiration started when I started journaling, and we started journaling together. We thought it would be a good idea just to have some of our memories on paper and also as a keepsake for our youngest son, James.
Yeah, and then I think also then building on that, I think there was, I have a passion for public speaking, so we thought this could also be a point of or a catalyst to drive that and to share our story with a greater audience. But in both regards, the idea was really that it was something that where people might be struggling with similar challenges or just general challenges in life, that they would know that they could potentially get through it. So that was some of the inspiration. So as Lauren said, together with something for our son James, and then also just to be something, a book of inspiration for those that are struggling with challenges in life, to know that you can get through even something as tough as dealing with children with a rare genetic syndrome or losing children.
Raising severely ill children while managing careers and relationships is undoubtedly challenging. How did you navigate these demands, and what advice would you offer to others facing similar circumstances?
And I think one of the things that we did quite consciously is that we were there to support each other, and so we scheduled our shifts, if I can put it that way, particularly around hospital time, because our boys spent a lot of time in hospital. And I think that's when it became really tricky for us, because obviously I have a career, Lauren has a career, we have a son at home to look after, and with Lauren's work, it was housebound. I mean, she runs a play school, so she needs to physically be there. I'm fortunate that I'm in the technology sector, so a lot of my work can be done remotely and via conference calling or video conferencing, etc. And so we made sure that we, one, could support each other, and two, that we knew where those limitations or commitments needed to be. And so I would often spend the night at the hospital, and a bit of the morning. Our parents would also help during the morning sectors, and then Lauren, when she finished school, would then come and do like an afternoon shift, or sometimes try to get out of sometimes try to do a bit of a morning if she could, or before work or whatever it might be, and then I would take over again. And then we'd also use our parents to allow us also just to go out for dinner every now and again, just the two of us, so we could get time with each other. So we really try to balance it between making sure we were there for our kids, or both in the hospital and at home, as well as there for each other in being leveraging our support system to be able to give us our own space as well.
Your story is described as not just a tale of hardship, but also as a testament to the incredible strength and resilience of your family. Can you share a specific instance that highlights this strength and resilience, taking into account the lowest lows and the highest highs? Can you elaborate on some of the key moments?
I think probably one of the things that stands out for us, and I think that not for good reasons, but is fairly unique, and certainly from our medical staff, that they said was one of the most unusual circumstances they've had to face, was when we were blessed with the birth of our third son, James. Whilst that was a massive blessing, at the same time we were faced with losing our first child, Ryan. And so we literally had a situation where where Ryan was snuck into Lauren's ward because we weren't sure if he was going to make it through the next day. And at the same time, Lauren giving birth to our third son, James, who was 100% healthy. So on the one side of things, we had the high of a newborn baby coming into the world, and on the other, the lowest of the low, where you're pretty much saying goodbye to the other. And we certainly found that from a hospital staff perspective, after speaking to them years later, we understood that the entire hospital was walking on eggshells that day because they didn't actually know how to deal with that situation. And so that was a very, very big moment that I think probably demonstrates the biggest high and the biggest low of any person's life. And I think that raises testament to some of the things that we dealt with as a family in going through the journey we did.
As a husband and wife, how did you navigate the emotional toll on your relationship, and what strategies did you employ to strengthen your bond during these trying times?
So I think, yeah, for us, we've always been really good at making time for ourselves, and again, referencing our support system. So we would always make time for each other to go out for dinner, just to go see a movie, to go and see friends without our children, just to have our own time. But also during our very stressful times, to recognize that we both are different individuals. We both deal with stresses and sadness and happiness just totally differently. And it was pointed out to us in one session that we went to. And we realized that we both just deal with things differently. And I think once you recognize that and understand why your partner deals with things differently, it helps you as a couple work out your strengths and your weaknesses together. So I think, yeah, for us, it was really just recognizing that and also just making the time, always making the time for each other, just to be together. Otherwise, especially with children with lots of challenges, it can be all very consuming, and you need to just make time as partners.
For readers who may be facing adversity, what specific messages or lessons do you hope they take away from your book?
I think Lauren says it so beautifully in the book, and I think we mentioned it a few times, but to celebrate the little things, not only with kids with disabilities, but just in life in general. We focus so many on so much on big things in life and celebrating those. But it's the little things that really, when you look back on, they're often things that make a big difference, particularly when you're facing adversity. When you're facing a challenge and that's relevant to your space and your life. Often you look at the big thing and you can't see the wood from the trees. You can't see past it because you're just looking at it as a whole. But once you start breaking it down or celebrate the little wins that you have in overcoming that adversity, I think that really helps people to be able to get there. And I think we always were fortunate to be able to live that. Lauren talks in the book as well, which mentions a story about Ryan's first day at school, and the comment came back, he ate a raisin today. And for anybody, that's like, doesn't mean anything, but for a child that doesn't eat, it was actually such a big win for us. And we're like, okay, wow, this is a really good school for him. So it was celebrating something as small as eating a raisin for us that gave us a lot of satisfaction. So, I think that was a big thing. And like, what do we want people to take away from the book? Like, absolutely, that there's always hope. Like, no matter how difficult a situation might seem, as it faces you, you can get through it. And if you have a positive attitude, like you can really get through it, and that positive attitude can often come from celebrating those small things. So, that's fundamentally, I think, the core of our story is that you can get through anything you're faced with. It's just a matter of surrounding yourself with the right people, whether it's family, whether it's friends, whether it's life partners, whatever it might be, and focusing on positive things, small wins, and you can get there.
As we come to the end of our conversation with Paul and Lawrence Spagnoletti, we are left with a profound sense of awe and inspiration. Their story is a testament to the strength of the human spirit, the power of love, and the resilience that resides within us all. We thank you for sharing your journey with us and for reminding us that no matter how dark the night may seem, there is always a glimmer of hope on the horizon. We encourage our listeners to pick up a copy of their book to immerse themselves in the raw beauty of their narrative and to find solace, inspiration, and the unwavering belief that indeed there is a path forward. Until next time, remember to embrace each moment with courage, compassion, and an unwavering spirit of resilience. Goodbye and take care.